Could see the ARC-170s and the V-Wings playing a dangerous game with their opponent, speeding directly into hails of energy bolts in the hope of forcing the carrion spike to betray her location and sacrificing themselves in the process. His hands tight on the yoke, Vader called out,
"Sergeant Crest, prepare to fire."
The stormtrooper's voice crackled from the cockpit enunciator.
"Standing by, Lord Vader, but we have no visual on the target."
"Follow the tracers back to their source, Sergeant, and pour all the power of those quad lasers toward the point of origin."
"Shots in the dark," Tarkin said.
"Only from your vantage,"
Vader said. Then he took his hands from the steering yoke and turned to him to add,
"Your ship, flank speed."
Tarkin pulled the co-pilot's yoke into his lap and began to slalom the Predator through the debris field spewed by the crippled station. At the same time, Vader swiveled to position himself at the controls for the forward guns. Wary of allowing the ion engines to overheat, Tarkin slewed the ship through clusters of slagged alloy, incinerated starfighters, and tumbling bodies. Far to starboard, the explosions were thinning. The carrion spike had enough firepower to destroy the entire station, but the dissidents were tapering off the attack, perhaps to reserve energy for future targets. Was that the goal, Tarkin wondered, to use his ship to inflict as much damage as possible? The thought of having the carrion spike leave such a legacy hollowed him.
"Commence fire,"
Vader said. Hyphens of raw energy surged from the Predator, the chuddering of her reciprocating quad lasers loud in the cockpit. Ahead, fire spattered against the carrion spike's ray and particle shields, and for the briefest instant the ship was revealed. Quickly then, the Predator's beams were streaking into empty space. Tarkin yawed to port, hoping to evade the carrion spike's response, but the shipjackers yawed with him, and their first salvo nearly overwhelmed the Predator's inferior shields. Tarkin pushed the yoke away from him, skimming the atmosphere of Galadron 3 with the carrion spike hewing to his trajectory and preparing to pounce. In the grip of a second barrage, the Predator shook in his grip, and the console lights began to flicker.
"Drop behind them,"
Vader said. Tarkin rushed a deceleration burn and starboard feint, hoping to trick the shipjackers into overflying the Predator. Instead, the carrion spike leapt and spun through a half turn, which Tarkin grasped only when he saw a tempest of energy beams converging on the cockpit. Tarkin's sudden swerve and spin almost threw Vader from his chair. "They're employing the pimple guns," Tarkin said in a rush. "They'll burn right through us." He risked a glance at Vader. "We've one chance to survive this. Redirect all power to the aft shields." Vader took Tarkin at his word, and the Predator slowed significantly as a result. The carrion spike's beams found their mark, all but driving the smaller ship forward.
"Shields at 40%,
Vader said. Tarkin pulled on the stuttering yoke, taking the Predator into a sudden climb, but there was no escaping his own ship. Another barrage rattled the Predator to her rivets. Vader slammed his fist on the console.
"They have jammed our instruments. Shields at 20%.
A powerful explosion aft worked its way forward to the cockpit, conjuring fire from the sparking instruments, stripping the ship of shields and propulsion, and leaving the Predator dead in space. "Damage assessment," Teller called toward the audio pickup as he scrambled to his feet in the carrion spike's command cabin. Still strapped into the pilot's chair, Salek was in the midst of bringing some of the stunned systems back to life, tufts of his fur wafting through the cabin on currents of recycled air. Anora's voice issued through one of the speakers.
"Airlock controls for the escape pods are fried."
"We're not going to be needing the pods, Anora. Move on." Hask's voice was the next to ring out.
"Fire in cargo hold 3 has been extinguished."
"Lock down the hold and disable the exhaust fans," Teller said quickly. "I don't want us venting any smoke or fire suppressant foam." Clapping grit from his hands, he dropped himself into the comm officer's chair. "Kala, where are you?" The speaker crackled.
"Aft maintenance bay. The hyperdrive generator seems to be operable, but it's making some awfully strange noises. Don't know what it will do when we jump. Can't now, anyway, until self-diagnostics are complete."
"How long?"
10 minutes. 15 at the most.
Carla's forced exhalation could be heard through the speaker.
They knew just where to hit us, Teller.
Of course they did. It's Tarkin's ship.
And they tracked us through hyperspace again.
Selleck spoke before Teller could reply. The station has launched another squadron of starfighters. They're flying search formations, radiating out from the Parsec Predator.
Teller called up a magnified view of the incapacitated ship.
I was hoping they'd mistake the Predator for us, but Tarkin must still have limited comm.
He shook his head in vexation.
We must have put on quite a show for the station personnel.
The starfighters, Selleck repeated.
Teller watched the ARC-170s and V-Wings begin to fan out.
Do we have sublight?
We do, but I'm worried those starfighters will sniff out our ion signatures.
Worry more about Vader. He's probably guiding them right to us.
Teller thought for a moment.
Take evasive action. Full silent running.
Selleck glanced at him.
Shouldn't we finish them off? I mean, when will we have another chance like this? To kill two of the Empire's chief commanders?
They're replaceable.
Tarkin, maybe. But Vader?
For all we know, the Emperor has a dozen more like him in deep freeze. Besides, we need to make the most out of this ship while we've got her.
Selleck nodded. I reluctantly agree.
Reluctance is fine.
Teller swung toward the audio pickup. Doc, where are you?
Cargo hold one,
Otto said.
And there's something here you need to see before we go to light speed.
Teller looked at Selleck. You okay here?
Go,
the Gotl said, fairly bleating the word.
Teller pushed himself out of the chair and hurried through the command cabin hatch into the after deck.
Racing through the conference cabin, he took the starboard connector to the turbo lift, only to find it unresponsive. He hurried back to the main cabin and took the emergency stairwell down one level to the engine room, then wormed his way through a narrow cofferdam that accessed the cargo holds. As he came through the hatch of cargo hold one, he saw Artos crawling out from around a large black sphere set into a hexagonal dais that took up most of the hold.
What's so important I need to see it?
The Mon Cal got to his big feet and gestured to the sphere.